Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Ayin Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the very bottom of Daf Ayin Hei Omid Beis, at the point that the Gemara begins following the Mishnah that appeared there at the bottom. Before we begin the actual Gemara, let us glance at the side where we have a Nosei topic heading. Nosei is a topic, and following that you see a Mivneh note, which is a structural note where a double underline is featured. So under our Nosei, our topic heading, we've written Ta'aruvos Shel Shnei Dvorim, a mixture of two things, Shedinom Tolui B'midas Chom. When we're speaking about a mixture, we're talking about something that is allowed mixed with something that is not allowed, or in the case of Boser B'cholov, where meat and milk mixed together. And in our case, we're going to be featuring a mixture of two items, either one allowed, one not allowed, as kosher, in the case of kosher meat versus unkosher meat, or you have the case of as we said, dairy and meat mixing together, where the temperature is an issue, two hot items or two cold items, etc. And that is highlighted by the double underline that you can see, Cham Leso Cham, we've written, that's where two hot mixture items get mixed together. Mikrim Shonim Shel Tarova's different examples, and they continue to the top of Ayin Vov Amet Aleph. So let us continue now in the Gemara, Itmar, Cham L'Soich Cham. If you have, as Rashi says at the bottom, you have some hot meat that fell into some hot milk. Or you have an item of something that is hot allowed something, or it fell into something hot that's not allowed. So, Divrei HaKol, everyone agrees, Osir, that both items are prohibited. And as Rashi says at the top, the bola heter me'iser, that which was allowed absorbed from that which was not allowed. The issue of absorption, blia, is the factor that determines whether the mixture is allowed or not. If something absorbs, if that which is allowed absorbs from something that is prohibited, or in the case of meat and milk, where the meat absorbed the milk, so in a hot situation, so that's considered as if the meat and milk cooked together, which is what the Torah prohibits. We continue in the Gemara, tzonein l'soch tzonein, if something cold is allowed, fell into a cold prohibited environment, so divrei hakol mutter, so that in our case, if you had, let's say, a piece of kosher, or if you have a piece of meat that fell into, let's say, some raw meat that fell into some cold milk, so there is no problem. Nothing is prohibited there. If at worst, all you do is just rinse off the cold piece of meat, and it's fine. It's allowed. A third example, cham l'soich tzoinein. Something hot fell into something cold. Vitzonein l'soch cham, something cold, fell into something hot. Now here, the issue is of utmost importance to identify the upper item and then the lower item, that A falls into B, B being the lower item. So how do we determine a mixture like that, where we three examples, 3 and 4. Rav Omar Ilo Govar. Rav says that the upper has the greater strength. In other words, the status of the upper item determines the nature of the mixture. So that if it's a hot falling into cold, we would say that the hot heats up the cold, that which is on the bottom, making them now both hot, making it essentially cham l'soich cham, and they would both be prohibited. because Elah, Govar, Elah is the upper one, that is the determining factor. Shmuel Amar Tato Govar, Shmuel says that the status of the lower item is that which determines things. So that according to Shmuel, if the lower item is hot and that which is falling into it is cold, that would become a Cham l'soch cham situation. Even though the upper one initially was cold, but it fell into something that's hot. And Shmuel's opinion is tato'o govar. The lower item determines the identity of the mixture, and hence that would make it into a cham l'soch cham situation. As we continue in the Gemara, we take note of the structure. We notice triangles, and on the side of the Gemara, we have a mivneh, a structural note, where we've written shalosh or gimel kushios al shitas Shmuel de tato govar. We'll be raising three questions against the opinion of Shmuel, who said that the lower one is the determining factor. Notice that the first question itself is a long question, as the marking indicates. And in fact, the second and third questions will also be like that, long questions. So the question number one is Notaf Meirotfo, and we should point out that this is a quote from our Mishnah, so that if you were having any questions as to what this topic of mixtures is doing in our sugya, the answer is because in order to determine the machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, we cite that which appears in our Mishnah. So here's a quote from the Mishnah that was found at the bottom of Ayin Heyomid Beis, Notaf Meroifoy al Hacheres. A Korban Pesach is being roasted, and some of its gravy drips onto the Cheres. Cheres is the clay wall of the tanur, and then the chozar elov, and then it ricochets back onto the meat of the korban pesach. Yitol es mekoymoi. Yitol means you remove that part of the korban pesach meat that had the gravy ricocheting back onto it. Ko salko daitoch. Now here we're setting up the question. The initial understanding is becheres tzonenes, that we're talking about cheres, that the clay wall of the vessel was cold at this time. That's the assumption. And what does the Mishnah say? That if you have the hot gravy falling onto the cold clay wall and then ricocheting back, you have to remove part of the meat. And based on what we've learned in our previous shiurim, the Korban Pesach must be roasted by fire, not cooked up by anything else. So it's we now continue. Bishlamo l'Rav, d'yomar ilo govar. Things will make sense according to Rav, that says the upper entity determines the type of mixture, the type of ta'aruvis. So, since Rav says the upper is the determining factor, and we're dealing with the hot gravy falling onto the cold clay vessel, Mishum hachi ito es mekoymoi. Therefore, we have to dispense with that section of the meat that absorbed the ricocheting gravy. And why? What's the explanation? The ozal roitev, the hot gravy went, marsich le lecheres, it heated up the clay vessel, and that's a function of ilo'o govar, Rav's shita, the upper is the determining factor. So the gravy coming from above, falling down onto the cheres, heats up the cheres, in effect. The hodar cheres marsich le leroitev. And then the cheres now is said to heat the roitev. It's sort of a ping-pong situation where the hot cheres heats up the cheres, and the cheres then becomes heated and heats up the roitev, the gravy. The chihoda roitev apesach, and then when the gravy ricochets back onto the meat of the korban pesach, komatvi pesach machmas chamimuso de cheres. Komatvi has to do with roasting. The pesach gets roasted up through the heat of the cheres, of the clay vessel wall. So as far as that part of the Korban Pesach, that part that absorbed the ricocheting gravy is being heated or roasted through the heat of the cheres, of the clay vessel. V'rachmona Omar, and the Torah declared tzli eish, that the Korban Pesach must be prepared through roasting through fire, velot tzli machmas dover acher, and not roasting through some other medium. Elo l'Shmuel, the Omar Tatogovar, but according to Shmuel and his analysis, that the lower entity determines the nature of the mixture, cheres kevon detzonein hu, the cheres, of course, as we asserted in our initial understanding, where we said kosalka daitoch, five lines from the top, assuming that the clay was in fact cold. So since it was cold and it was the lower entity, the gravy dripping onto it, onto the clay vessel, akure mekar leilaroitev, the cheres in fact cools off the roitev, and now the roitev becomes a non-threatening substance. It's cold now. And so something that's cold that hits the Korban Pesach should have no effect. Amayi toles makomo. So then why do you have to remove that section of the Korban Pesach as the Mishnah dictates? Why bother removing it? Cold gravy doesn't roast the Korban Pesach. So why does the Mishnah insist on dispensing with that section that came in contact with the gravy? So this is our problem with Shmuel. We see from the Mishnah that apparently Ilo'o Govar, and hence we have the problem, and hence the Mishnah said, Yitoles Mekoimai. The Gemara answers, in defense of Shmuel, Kida Omar Rav Yirmiyah Omar Shmuel, as Rav Yirmiyah Omar Shmuel says later on, he says elsewhere, he says in a different context, Shmuel says, Besoiles Roisachas, then we'll see that comes up later, that has to do with hot flour, Hachanami, so too, applying that in our case, becheres roiseach. We're talking about the clay vessel itself is hot. It has its own heat. So you have hot gravy falling onto the hot cheres, and the ricocheting back is something that is, even Shmuel agrees, is, as everyone agrees, that hot with hot is a problem. And that's what creates the iser over here. So the issue here is not a function of tato or govar, but rather the upper is hot, the lower is hot. That's chum, as far as we're concerned, that's like cham l'so cham. It's clearly prohibited according to everybody. Tanan. Well, we have come up with now question number two. It says noitfoy notaf me roitfoy al hasoilas. If some gravy fell onto some flour, gravy from the Korban Pesach fell onto flour, yikmoitz es mekoimoi. So you have to remove the part of the flour onto which the gravy of the Korban Pesach fell. And the Gemara will give us the whole analysis again. The assumption being, and again we like to emphasize when you see a discussion that lasts a couple lines, not to lose sight of what the assumption was, we dash underline the assumption is besoilus tzeinenes, that we're talking about the flour was cold. And the Mishnah says you've got to yikmotz es mekomos, to take a handful of flour, the spot onto which the rotev fell, the rotev, the gravy of the Korban Pesach, and to dispense with it. So if you say that we're talking about cold flour, so bishlamo l'rav, things will work out best according to Rav, Yomar ilo'o govar, that the upper is that which determines things. Mishum hachi yikmoitz es mekomo, therefore there is a need to remove the section of flour onto which the gravy fell. Now why? De marsich lo l'soiles, de hodar hu doranei, the gravy heats up. The gravy coming from above, falling onto the lower soles. So Ilo Govar says, Rav, the gravy is the hot, it's the determining factor, because it's coming from above. and it heats up the flour and that which is surrounding the spot onto which the gravy dripped. That the hodahu darnei means that which surrounds the spot onto which the gravy fell. The hodra solus umasicha leila didei, and then the solus having gained heat from the gravy, now it heats up the gravy. The komatfi rotev machmas chamimusa de solus, and the rotev which represents the korban pesach, its gravy, its fats from the korban pesach, it now gets heated up because of the solus which became heated through the gravy that was ilah. For Rachmona Omar tzli esh v'lo tzli machmas dover acher. And the Torah says regarding the Korban Pesach, you must eat only that which is roasted by the fire and not gravy that was gravy of the Pesach that was roasted through the heated flour. Ela l'shmuel di omar tato ogovar. But according to Shmuel, says that the lower item is that which determines the nature of the mixture. So solas, kima de tzonenesi, the solas which was the lower item, and it was cold, akuri komekarle, it has the greater strength. The cold then determines the gravy, makes the gravy cold. So loma li yikmot ses makomo. If that's the case, so then the gravy is not aser. The gravy wasn't heated up or roasted through a hot soles. Omar Rav Yirmiyah, Omar Shmuel, besoilus rosacha. As we saw an allusion to this answer before, here is the source at which that answer is given. We're talking about soles. The Mishnah is talking about soles, flour that was initially hot. So you have hot gravy falling into hot flour. That's a problem because of tzli esh v'lo tzli machmas dover acher. Tanan. The third question, sochoi b'shemen shel truma. Someone smeared the korban pesach with some oil of truma. Truma is a tithe that's given to kohanim, and only kohanim are allowed to eat from truma. The truma tithe. Here he used olive oil and smeared his korban pesach with olive oil of truma. Im chaburas kohanim yochlu. If the group of people that are assembled there to eat are kohanim, it's a group of people that join together to eat the korban pesach, are all kohanim, so they can eat from it. Im shel yisrael, if they're a group of non kohanim. Im chai hu yadichenu, if it was a raw korban pesach, so then rinse it off. Rinse off the truma oil and the meat is okay. Im tzli hu, if it's roasted meat, yikloif es hachitzon, then you have to peel off the outer layer of the korban pesach, the outer layer that absorbed the truma. Bishlomola Rav Diomari Lo Govar, according to Rav, that says the upper is the determining factor. Now, in this case, the upper is the oil, and the oil is assumed to be cold oil put onto the hot korban pesach. So, since the upper, which is the determining factor, was cold, amtu lahochi sagi leib klipa, amtu lahochi, because of this, or therefore, the klipa is a very thin layer of meat. Literally, klipa is a peel, a very thin layer is removed, and therefore klipa removal is enough. Mishom de'ilah tzonenu, because the oil was cold, so you don't have to do very much other than just remove a klipa amount, a very thin amount of surface meat. But according to Shmuel, that says that the lower is the determining factor, and here you had hot roasted korban pesach, that being the lower factor, kevan decham, who, since it is hot, mivla bola, that which is hot is said to absorb. Hamai sagi leba klipa. Why is klipa removal enough? Nitzar legamri, should be completely forbidden. The hot korban pesach absorbed into its very being, absorbed the truma oil. So if it's a chabura of Yisraelim, the whole korban pesach should be rendered forbidden. The Gemara answers, true, Tato Gavar Shmuel will tell you. So why does it say only Yiklof es achitzan? Shiny sicha de mashu ba'almuhu da avida. Sicha, the smearing on of the oil, is such a negligible amount, some minor, unimportant amount of oil that it would be unreasonable to say that the whole meat is forbidden. So this very thin film of oil is smeared onto it, so even Shmuel will agree, well, as the Mishnah itself dictates. Of course, Shmuel is an Amora, so the Mishnah sets the tone. Shmuel understands that Yiklof is really enough over here. We continue with a new marking on the side. You see a diamond is featured under the Mivne heading. Shnei Brisos in Mivnim Domim. There are two Tanaic sources that will appear with similar structures. Benosei Taroves Chamvetzonim, regarding the issue of hot getting mixed with cold. So the first source, Tanya Kavosei de Shmuel. Here we have a Tanaic source that supports Shmuel. And when we see Tanaic sources supporting a particular opinion of Amoraim, that will have significance when it comes to determining halacha. So let's see the Gemara. Tanya Kavosei de Shmuel. Cham l'soy cham oser. Hot, falling into hot, it is forbidden. That which, whatever was allowed, is now rendered unfit. V'chein sonein Shenosan l'soich cham oser. Now here we've dashed underline that which is of central importance. Here we have something cold falling into something hot. So let's say the cold was something that was permitted, that item is now going to be totally forbidden because tato'o govar, and that's the support to Shmuel. Cham l'soich tzoinein, v'tzoinein l'soich tzoinein, madiach. Just rinse off. Now we have case 3 is hot falling into cold, and cold, two cold items mixed together. That's case 4. Rinsing off is enough. The Gemara asks, technical question. On number 3, regarding case 3, Cham l'soich tzonein, madiach. If you have something hot falling into something cold, rinsing off is enough. Kevon de cham hu, since the upper item falling in happened to be hot, ademekar le, until it's cooled off by the lower tzonein. So until it gets cooled off, e efshad de lo bol apurta, it's impossible that it doesn't absorb something a little bit. Klipa miavniboi, at least the removal of a thin surface. If you have, in the case of meat and milk, for example, if you have some hot meat falling to cold milk, and you hold tato govar, but until the meat gets cooled off by the cold milk, there's some little absorption. Should it not require klipa, a thin removal of surface meat to make things okay? That's true. Ela Emo, rather, restate the original source, case 3, Cham l'sochone tzonein koleif. In fact, you should peel off the surface of the item, and 4 is like we had originally, tzonein l'sochone mediach. Midiach, rinse it off. There, so you have cold falling into cold. Rinsing off is enough, as we've said in the past, when there's no heat involved, so there's no absorption involved. Tanya idach. We have another source. 4 cases, very similar to the setup we just had. Bosor roseach, shenofel esoch cholov roseach. Hot meat falling into hot milk. V'chein tzonein shenofel esoch cham. And likewise, where you have some cold meat falling into hot milk. Osir. And that too is like Shmuel. So we have a second Tanaic source like Shmuel, because here you have the whole piece of meat becomes osir, everything becomes osir because the lower entity was hot. That's called tato govar. Number case 3, cham l'soch tzonein v'tzonein l'soch tzonein mediach. And the same question and same answer as we had before. Case 3, cham l'soch tzonein mediach, rinsing is enough. Kevan de chamu, since the upper item was hot, ademekerle, until it cools off, yefshed de lobo laporta, it's impossible that it doesn't absorb a little bit. Klipa miha neboi, there should be a requirement of removing klipa, the surface at least. Elo emo, so rather say, case 3 is restated, cham l'soch tzonein kolev, tzonein l'soch tzonein mediach, the same answer as we saw before. Omar Mar. And now we look at case 4. Tzonein, l'sof tzonein midiach. We said that when you have cold, falling into cold, then all that you have to do is rinse off the item, the mutter item, and it remains mutter, remains allowed. And here in this section of Gemara, we will be qualifying some of these points. Omar Rav Huna, lo shanu elo shaloi molchoi. That rinsing off is enough, that is provided that it wasn't something that was salted. Avol molchoi, if it was salted, let's say you have some salted meat that's cold, falling into milk that's cold, osir. The Omar Shmuel, Miliach hareu kiroiseach, and kavush harehu kemivushal. We have 2 points we call aleph and beis. We want to focus on aleph right now. Shmuel says that which is salted is kiroseach, means like it is as if it is hot, so that the milk and meat, the meat having been salted, is then something that will set to heat up, so to speak, the milk that it comes into contact with, and you have a problem. You've got a boser b'cholov problem. And kovush harei kemivushal, that's a case where something is pickled, even though there's no actual heat, but the fact that something is kept in a pickling environment, it's as if it's being cooked together. That which Shmuel said, that something that is salted is as if it is hot. This is true only when the salt level is such that you wouldn't be able to eat it because of the extreme saltiness. If it's something that's salted but you could still eat it, it's not intolerable, then it's not considered, it's not considered as if it's hot. And therefore, we would go back to the original halacha that you could simply rinse it off. And now a little incident. Hahu bar gozlo denofa lekada dekamcha. There was a bar gozlo, is a piece of a bird meat. A gozlo is a bird. And so you have bird meat, we'll say chicken for argument's sake, fell into a kad, is a pitcher of kamcha. Kamcha is a dairy dip. It's also known as kusach. Sharyo Rav Chinina Brei Derova Mipashrunya. Notice, by the way, that we have this section of Gemara is essentially a point. One point will be developed with a number of qualifications found in the course of this presentation. So, this bird meat fell into a pitcher full of kamcha, it's a dairy dish. Dairy dip, and Rav Chinina allowed. He says it's okay. Omar Rava, and Rava comments, "Man chochim lemishra milsa." Who is wise enough to make to rule leniently to allow mishras to allow this matter? Kiha like this. Ilav Rav Chinina brei derava mipashrunya de gavra rabahu. If it's not for Rav Chinina, who happens to be a great man, Omar Loch. And the explanation now follows. Ki amar Shmuel meliach ha'ukiraseach, when does Shmuel say that that which is salted is considered as if it's heated up? And it might be worth noting that the kamcha is also a salty type dish. So it says this is true she'ein nechal machmas milcho. That's when it can't be eaten because of its extreme saltiness. Hi, however, the bird, now the bird also, the bar gozla happened to have been salted. We should have pointed that out earlier. But the bar gozla is nechal machmas milcha. It's something that can be eaten. V'hani mili, when is it that we say it's mutter? That's chai, if it's raw. Avot sli, but if it's roasted, boi klipa. It would require a peeling of its surface. The lo amoron elo de les ba the lesbe pili. It's true that klipa is enough. That's provided that the that it doesn't have any pili or cracks in it. It's smooth. So if it's a smooth roasted meat that falls into the kamcha, it would be solved by klipa. Aval is be pili also. If it has cracks in it, though, it would be forbidden, because the kamcha, the dairy, will get absorbed into the cracks. Ve'i metubal betavli oser, if it is spiced, if the bar gozla was spiced, it will be oser. As Rashi says, the spices soften up the meat and enable it to absorb the kusach. And the bar gozla, we should point out, was cold. But even so, the chiddush is that even though it was cold, nevertheless, the spicing makes it soft and hence very absorbent. Omar Rav. We continue to Omid Beis, noting, of course, that Rav had a number one by his name, Rav, and Levi will be arguing with him at the top of Omid Beis. Omar Rav, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, as we said, Boser Shchuta Shomein. And we should note we're starting a new sugya here. This is called the sugya of Recha Milsa. This is noted on the side of the Gemara. We have our nosei, our topic heading, Recha. Recha literally is smell or aroma, but will be more specific when we get into the Gemara, where we feature two items that are not touching one another, but they're both in a hot oven at the same time. That phenomenon of being in the same oven at the same time, where both are exuding an aroma, so e milsahi e olo, is that considered a factor or not? Is it negligible? And that will be Machlokes Rav Levi. We'll see a Machlokes on this topic between, a controversy between Rav and Levi. So we are featuring now a case of Boser Shchuta Shomein. That's, Shchuta is, in, for our purposes, will mean kosher meat. Shomein, fatty kosher meat. Shetzoloi im Boser Nevelo Kochosh. That's roasted in an oven. Together with means at the same time. They're not physically touching each other, but they're in the same oven, as nevela for our purposes will mean unkosher meat. Kochush means lean, unkosher meat. Rav says, Oser, the kosher meat becomes forbidden. My taima, why is that? Mefatmi mehadodi. Mefatmi, could be translated very loosely as it fattens it up, but however, the aroma of the kosher, fatty kosher meat goes to the nevela. It's as if the nevela absorbs this kosher fattiness, and it, the nevela itself, becomes, as a result, a type of fatty meat, and now it is exuding unkosher aroma that's then subsequently absorbed into the kosher meat. It's a ping-pong situation. The kosher arouses the unkosher, and the unkosher now gets absorbed back into the kosher. And Rav is saying this situation is prohibited. It goes without saying that if the opposite were the case, it certainly would be prohibited, namely a case where the nevela was fatty and the shchuta was lean. There, it's a one-directional problem where it goes immediately from the aroma, the recha of the nevela goes directly into the shchuta. We can see Rashi at the top who describes this, Boser Shchuta Shomein Shetzolo Betanur, that's roasted in an oven, Vishnei Shpudim, on two separate spits, Ze Rochoik Mizeh, the kosher is distanced from the unkosher. Oser, it nevertheless is Oser Sheharayach min haShomein, the aroma from the fatty kosher meat, Nichnas leKochosh, goes into the lean unkosher meat, of a Fatmo, and fattens it up, so to speak, arouses it. The Choser Zeh Motzi Reach Gam Hu, and now it is capable of exuding its aroma, and its aroma, the Nevela aroma, now goes into the Shchuta kosher meat and ruins it. The kol shekein, it goes without saying, shchuta kusha nevela shmeina, where you have lean kosher meat and fatty unkosher meat. For Rabu Sashmin and Rav, and Rav, in presenting the case the way he did, with the kosher meat being fatty, is telling us an even more novel, bigger chiddush. The lo neimo, don't think nevela kusha hoil the ain recha no deif lo asur la l'shchuta. You shouldn't think that since the nevela is lean, so it's incapable of rendering the shchuta prohibited. Don't say that. Vashmina deshuman shchuta mefatin nevela berecha. Rather, he informs us that the fatty kosher meat arouses, enters the nevela, the unkosher meat arouses it through recha, vahodar mafka ihu recha, and then it, the nevela, exudes its recha. The Gemara continues, v'levi, omar levi, we wrote above, is meko, he is lenient, and he says, afilu boser shchuta kochosh, he takes the other extreme case, where you have, the kosher meat is lean, shetzoloi in boser nevela shamein, and it's roasted in the oven, as we set up before, two separate spits, with fatty unkosher meat, mutter, the kosher meat remains mutter, my time, why is that? Recha bi'almuhu, it's a mere function of aroma, the recha lav milsahi, and aroma is a non-factor. Ovid Levi Uvda Be Reish Galusa, Levi issued a ruling of leniency in the home of the exilarch. The Gedi V'Dover Acher, in the case of a Gedi, is a goat, which is kosher meat that was roasted in an oven together at the same time as some Dover Acher is a nice word. It's a euphemism. Literally means it. And something else. It's a euphemism for pig meat. We continue in the Gemara now with a structural note. The triangles, and you can see as you look ahead in the Gemara, you see the triangles appearing in two different directions. On the side of the Gemara, under our Mivne heading, the triangle point facing up represents a kasha on Levi, and the inverted triangle will be a kasha on Rav. So we continue. Meisvei. The Mishnah taught, Ein solin shnei psochim ke'echod. That is the Tanaic source, not the Mishnah. The Tanaic source teaches that one should not roast two Korban Pesachs together, v'tnei hataroivis, because of the problem of a mixing. Now, there's a great amount of background that we've already acquired through learning Maseches Pesachim, but let's just for quick review, a Korban Pesach is earmarked or is designated for a particular group of people that joined together to eat it, a specific Korban Pesach. And a person who's appointed to eat from this Korban Pesach is not allowed to eat from a second Korban Pesach that's been assigned to a separate group of people. So it says in this source that you're not allowed to roast two Korban Pesachs together in the same oven. Because of taroives, my lav, taroives, te'omim. There's a mixture of tastes. Now, how did they get mixed up? How did the taste from one get into the other? Well, through recha, through the reach phenomenon, v'kashin Levi. This would present a problem for Levi. Levi said aroma is a non-factor. It's insignificant. Here you see it is of significance, because when I'm eating my Korban Pesach, I'm eating Korban Pesach that's absorbed the recha, and as a result of that, the tam, the taste of the other Korban Pesach. And I'm not allowed to eat from the other Korban Pesach. The Gemara says, "Lo, that's not the analysis here. Rather, mipnei taroves gufen." The explanation of why not to roast two Korban Pesachs together is because you might come to switch them around. That Group A will eat Group B's Korban Pesach, and Group B will end up eating Group A's Korban Pesach. And as we said a moment before, you're entitled to eat only from that which you were specifically appointed to, not from someone else, from some other group's Korban Pesach. So if we have two Korban Pesachs roasting in one oven, there is a concern, a fear, that they might get mixed up. Hachi Nami Mesav. Take note, by the way, of the fact that we're in the middle of a long answer in defense of Levi. says that Levi's explanation is also most likely. Midikatoni Seifa, from the fact that the Seifa teaches Afilu Gidi Utle. It says even a case where you have the two different kinds of animals, a goat and a sheep, that are, or a goat and a lamb that are roasted as a korban pesach. The animals are clearly different from one another. So the Mishnah says, this Tanaic source says, even if it's a gedi and tle, they shall not be mixed, they shall not be roasted together. If you say that the fear is a mixing up of the bodies of the animals themselves, therefore it says, afilu gedi and tle, even if they're so clearly distinguishable, so different from one another, still don't roast them together in the same oven. And that the term afilu, even, means an extreme case, even where it would appear so obvious and distinguishable and clear that they're not going to get mixed up, don't roast them together. If you're going to say that the whole concern is that one Korban Pesach absorbs the taste from the other Korban Pesach, mali gdiu tle, mali gdiu gdi. What difference does it make whether it's a goat and a sheep, or a goat and a lamb, or two goats? It's the same level of problem. There would be no need for the term afilu in the Tanaic source. So at this point then, it would seem that the explanation of the source is like that which Levi is giving. Elamai, so therefore what do you have to say at this point? Al-Korchuch mitnei tarov is gufen hu de'aser. The problem of ain't soilin shnei psochim ke'echad, as we saw after the first triangle, is a function of the bodies, the animals themselves getting mixed up. That's the reason that there is a prohibition. Aval tarov is tamim shori. But if the only consideration would be a matter of mixing of tastes, that would not bother us. Lemot hevi tiuftei derav, should we say therefore that this Tanaic source represents a repudiation or a refutation of Rav? Rav said that Recha Milsahi. Here we're seeming to say Recha Lav Milsa. Omar Rav Yirmiya, Hocha b'mayaskinon. Rav Yirmiya says the source that said Ein Soilin Shnei Psochim Kechad, you know what it's talking about? Kegoin Shetzoloi, skipping the short bracketed section. The Hochi Ka'omar. The source shall be read as follows. Now, before we go on to read the source, Ka'ein Shtei Gedeiros means is it's if they were roasted in two separate pots. Now, in the brackets, the original reading was Kegon Shetzolo B'Shtei Gedeiros, as if it was roasted in two separate pots. So to that doesn't make sense. B'Shtei Gedeiros HaKadeich, the Korban Pesach is roasted on a spit. It's not cooked in a pot. Elohim Ke'ein Shtei Gedeiros. Rather, the roasting took place as if it were in two separate pots. And the emphasis right now is as a result of the setup, which we'll see in a moment what it was. As a result of the setup, there was no Taroves Te'omim. And the source reads as follows. Ein soilin shnei psochim ke'echod mipnei ta'aroives. You shall not roast two Korban Pesachs together because of the fear of things getting mixed from one to the other. My ta'aroives, what is that? What ta'aroives? Ta'aroives tomim. Like Rav said all along, a mixing of tastes. That's if the two Korban Pesachs that are on their respective spits are in the same oven without any blockage between the two. Aval ke'ein shtei kederos deleka tarovis tomim. If you have two Korban Pesachs which are as if they're in two separate pots, and what does that mean? It's as if they're in two separate pots. Well, in the oven there is a type of mound or some type of protrusion coming up from the bottom of the oven that separates the two Korban Pesachs, preventing any aroma exchange from one to the other. Nevertheless, even that situation is usur. It's prohibited. It's still usur. Mishum taruves gofen. Gufin, even as a result of the fear of I might mix up the two Korban Pesachs, give Group A Group B's Korban Pesach, and Group B will get Group A's Korban Pesach. Even if the two animals are so clearly different from one another, it's clearly distinguishable. By the way, Rashi points out what we explained, Ke'en Shteke. There is a cross from here, more or less a couple lines up. Rashi says, Shpud Mikan, Shpud Mikan, a spit on with the meat on one side, and another one on the other side. The tail Godol Shel Gicholim, O Efer Bemsan, and a mound of coals or of ash separating the two. Nevertheless, they're in the same oven. There's no transferal of Recha because of this this mound of ash that is between them, but there still is a fear of them being confused and switched around one with the other. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav Mori Kitanoi. Rav Mori says that the Machlokis Rav and Levi is a Machlokis Tanoim. Now, let us point out that this is, in a sense, a point, but the Gemara will qualify it. So, it might be that, as opposed to in general, where you see the term name of Katanoi, which is a suggestion that's inevitably rejected, you will see that the issue of something being a Machlokas Tanoim remains in part, but not across the boards. Of course, what we're saying now is a bit abstract. Let us see how the Gemara develops. Once again, the issue is Recha Milsa. Is aroma a factor? So the source says, Horoide Pas Chamo. Rode is the process of removing bread from the sides of an oven. Bread dough was slapped onto the sides of an oven, generally speaking, a clay oven, and the removal of the bread that was baked us that was slapped onto the sides of the oven, the removal of it is called rode. So he's removing hot bread from an oven. Vinosna api chavis yayin shel truma. He places the hot bread on a barrel of truma wine, and we mentioned before truma is something that unless you're a kohen, it is forbidden. So what is the story now with the bread that was placed on the top of the truma barrel? Rabbi Meir Oser. Rabbi Meir says a non-Kohen cannot eat the bread. Rabbi Yehuda Matir. He says it's allowed. Rabbi Yossi Matir b'shel chitin v'oser b'shel sa'urim. Rabbi Yossi makes a distinction between wheat bread versus barley bread. He says that if it's wheat bread, it's okay. If it's barley bread, it's not okay because b'nei shasorim shoavos. Barley is absorbent. So now, my lav tanoihi. Shall we not say that over here in this source we see that the issue of recha milsa is not just a machlokas Rav and Levi, but it's a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. The mor sava recha lav milsahi. Rabbi Yehuda, who said matir in the case of the bread on the barrel of truma wine, the bread is okay because the aroma that the bread may have absorbed is a non-issue. It wasn't actual physical contact between the bread and the truma. Worst case, it's a matter of aroma absorption, and that's not a factor. Rabbi Mar Sava, Rabbi Meir, Recha Milsahi. Rabbi Meir would represent the opinion that says that Recha is a factor, and that's why he ruled the bread is forbidden. It absorbed the aroma of truma wine. The Gemara continues. Levi, as far as the Amora Levi is concerned, Levi who was lenient, Vadai Tanoi he. Levi was lenient. He can find support only in the form of, or in the opinion of Rabbi Huda. So that Levi's position is, when he looks at this source, he'll have to say, well, my position is a Machlokas Tanoim. My position is such that only Rabbi Huda would be in agreement with me. Rabbi Meir would disagree. L'Rav, Neimo Tanoihi. What about Shitas Rav? Rav, who was strict. He ruled the bread is Rav. That is ruled that Recha Milsahi. Is he too a Machlokas Tanoim? Is he too supported only by Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda would not agree with him? Omalach Rav. Rav will tell you the Kuli Alma Recha Milsahi, that all Tanoim will agree that if you have two hot items in one oven, even Rabbi Huda will agree that it is that the kosher item will be ruined by the Recha of the unkosher item. Here, however, we have to add more explanation in here, in as far as the bread on the truma barrel of wine. The Gemara continues. And you should note, by the way, that this is a long answer. It's the question had been, should we say that Rav is a machlokes tanoim? The Rav says, no. My point of Recha Milsi, two items roasted together on separate spits in one oven, everyone will agree, like I said, I am not a machlokes tanoim. Rather, regarding the bread and the barrel, Lavit mara lo dehahi, was it not said concerning the bread on the barrel? Dehahim is a pronoun, it, the case of the bread on the barrel. It was it not explained as follows, Omar Rabba Barbachanam Reish Lokish, the pas chamo of the chovis psucha divrei kol aser. Hot bread on an open barrel, everyone will agree, even Rabbi Huda will agree, that it is, the bread is forbidden. The past sonenes v'chavis megufa devrekol muter. If it's cold bread on a megufa, is a sealed chavis barrel. Cold bread placed on a sealed barrel devrekol muter. Everyone will agree that there's nothing wrong with the bread. Lo nechliku elo v'past chama v'chavis chasuma. Past sonenes v'chavis psucha. The machlokas arises if you have hot bread on a closed barrel, a sealed barrel, or cold bread on an open barrel. In that case, in those cases, cases 3 and 4, so you will find Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda arguing. However, the ha, nami, my case, says Rav, of two items being roasted in an oven at the same time, my case is kepas chama v'chavis psucha. That would parallel case number 1, bread, hot bread on open barrel, that even Rabbi Huda would agree is forbidden. Let's read that again. V'hol nami kepas chamo v'chavis psucha damya. It is like, my case, says Rav, is like case 1 of the barrel of the wine. Hot bread on open barrel, that even Rav Yehuda agrees is also. So I am not a machlokes tanoim. My opinion, Recha Milsi, is would be agreed upon by Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Toni Rav Kahana braid Rav Chinen Osaba. So Rav Kahana teaches the following source: Pas she'ofa im tzli betanur, osur li'ochla bekuscha. Bread, pas that was baked together with some meat that was roasting. In other words, they weren't touching each other, but the bread was baking in an oven together with hot meat, with meat that was being roasted. The osur le'ochla bekuscha means you cannot eat the bread together with kuscha. We had kuscha before as a dairy dip. That would be an illustration of Recha Milsi. So the bread, in effect, became fleishig. It became meat. Hahi binisa. Binisa is a fish. Hahi binisa di itva bahadi bisra. Some fish that was prepared, that was roasted together with meat in the same oven. Osra rava mi parzikya lemechla bekuscha. Rava said that the fish cannot be eaten together with kusach, with the dairy. In other words, the fish became of meat status. More bar Rav Ashi Omar afilu b'milcha nami asura. Eating this fish, even on its own, even without having it dipped into kuscha, eating this fish on its own, being that it absorbed the meat taste, is also, once again, to eat it as it is, mishum de kashia l'recha uladover acher. It's bad for recha. It can produce, eating this produces, let's say, bad body odors. And dover acher, here, dover, by the way, is also a euphemism, but it's not a reference to a pig as we had before, but here, dover acher, another euphemism that that this is used for is tzoras. So that and this Gemara is the basis of the fairly well known Jewish practice of not having fish together with meat. There are many that after eating fish, before directly going into eating meat, they have something, they drink something that separates the two from one another. We continue with the Mishnah. On the side of our Gemara, we introduce the topic Korbonos Shakrivos and Doicha Shabbos V'Tuma. We will discuss different kinds of sacrifices that can be offered on Shabbos and can be offered even in a state of Tuma. When we speak about offering them, so bear in mind, we'll be offering korbanos in a state of tuma, but not eating from them. There will be one exception. Let's see the Mishnah. Chamisha dvarim boim betuma, v'ein ne'echolim betuma. There are five kinds of sacrifices that come in a state of tuma. That would be a situation where you don't have the option of doing it, let's say, in a state of tara. Rashi says, "Chamisha dvarim boim betuma ein l'cho korban ne'echal elo elu v'korban sibur doicha es hatuma." These are examples of public sacrifices that could be eaten if everything was okay, but they won't in this case. And korban sibur doicha es hatuma, the korban sibur, since it's of a public nature, if it were done in a state of ritual impurity, the korban is not ruined. Vashminu masnis and afal gav the korav betuma lafuke tzibur dechovos. And even though it could be offered in a state of tuma and the public fulfills its requirement, ein neecholim betuma, they nevertheless cannot be eaten in a state of tuma. L'kamei porach. And later the Gemara will ask, why is listening nami tzibur golem? Why is tzibur golem not in this list? We'll wait for the Gemara to deal with that. So we continue now in the Mishnah. What are the five? Number one, Ha'omer. Two, Shtei HaLechem. Three, Lechem Aponim. Four, Zivchei Shalmei Tzibor. And five, Sirei Roshei Chodoshim. The Omer is a grain offering that's brought on the 16th of Nisan, and through its offering, it's a barley grain offering. It's a mincha, and it enables the new grains of that particular season to be eaten. It's a matir of Chodosh. Shtei HaLechem are two loaves that are brought on Shavuos to the Beis HaMikdash, and when they are brought and presented in the Azorah of the Beis HaMikdash, the Shtei HaLechem are matir through there's Kivsei Atzeres. There's also a korban of sheep that are offered together with the Shtei HaLechem, and that's matir, the new grains for use in the Beis HaMikdash. Lechem Aponim are 12 loaves that are placed on the golden table in the Heichal and left there from Shabbos to Shabbos, from week to week. Each week they're distributed to the Kohanim. And Zivchei Shalmei Tzibor, this is a Korban Shlomim that is brought by the Tzibor. That is in fact a reference to what we mentioned before, the Kivsei Atzeres. And Sirei Roshei Chodoshim, the goat offering that's brought on Rosh Chodesh, in effect is a Korban Chatos. HaPesach Shebo Betuma, a Korban Pesach that's brought when the majority of the Tzibor are Tomei, so Ne'echal Betuma, it can be eaten even though it's brought in a state of Tuma and the people are Tomei. Shelobo Mitchiloso Ela Lachila, they're brought initially, the Korban Pesach's whole purpose is brought in order for it to be eaten. That is contrary, in contrast to the other Korbanos that were just mentioned. The Gemara now continues. Chamisha lemutemai. The Mishnah mentions a number. What is the purpose of stating the number? What is being excluded? So the Gemara answers, and notice we have a long answer marking. It says lemute chagigas chamisha asar. This is to the exclusion of the korban chagiga that's brought on the 15th. The 15th is a reference to the 15th of Nisan, and we also have a korban chagiga brought on the holiday of Sukkot and a korban chagiga that's brought on the holiday of Shavuot. So this korban chagiga's chamisha asar is not to the exclusion of the other of the Sukkot and Shavuot korbanos, but it's just right now the term chamisha asar is used in contrast to the term chagigas arba asar, which we've discussed in previous sugyas. But basically, we're talking about the standard korban chagiga. What are we saying? We are saying that the standard korban chagiga, which is essentially a korban shlomim that's eaten by the owner of the korban, it is not brought in a state of tuma. Now, the salka daita chamina, without the Mishnah saying chamisha, excluding this Korban Chagiga, I would have thought, Kevan de Korban Siborhu, since it is, in fact, a public type sacrifice. And what do we mean it's a public sacrifice? It's public in the sense that all of the public brings their private or their individual Korban Chagigas at the same time. That's what makes it a Korban Sibor. This is a term that we use in the context of Korban Pesach as well. It's also the Kenufia, and you'll see this term in Rashi. It's broad. Kenufia means together with everyone else. So I would have thought that since it's a type of Korban Sibor, Ukvile Moed, and it has a fixed time, and these are two factors, public and fixed time, I would have thought Tidchi Tumah. That's the formula for overruling Tumah in general. Komash Malon, Kevon the Islay Tashlumin, we're told here that since you have make-up time for bringing the Korban Chagiga, and what's the make-up time? Kol Shiva, the entire holiday. So, therefore, Lo Dachyo Shabbos, the Korban Chagiga doesn't overrule Shabbos. If let's say the first day of Yom Tov falls out on a Shabbos, and you're expected to bring a Korban Chagiga on the holiday, so don't bring it on Shabbos. Bring it the next day. You have makeup time for it. Since it has makeup time, it doesn't overrule Shabbos. And the rule is, when we do Shabbos lo dachya, from the fact that it doesn't supersede Shabbos, lo dachya tumah. It cannot supersede tumah either. So that's our answer. We ask the question, what does the number 5 in the Mishnah accomplish? It comes to exclude the bringing in a state of tumah, the Korban Chagiga. The Gemara asks, "V'nisni nami si'irei horagolim?" Why does the Mishnah not mention the goat offerings that are brought on holidays? Now, this is part of the Korban Musaf that's brought on holidays. In effect, it's a Korban Chatos, which is something that would be able, ordinarily, it's something brought and eaten by the Kohanim. It's a public sacrifice. Why is that not featured in the Mishnah as something that's brought betumah v'eino necholim betumah? The Gemara says, you know, it's not as if the Mishnah excludes this. Ha tonale zivche shalmei tzibor. By teaching example number 4, which featured the shlomim, the tzibor shlomim offerings, these are included. So by virtue of the characteristics of the zivchei shalmei tzibor, I understand that the seer golem have such similar characteristics. By telling me zivchei shalmei tzibor are brought betumah and not eaten, I understand the same thing will apply to the seirei haregolim. Well, if you're going with that approach, so ihachi, example 5 shouldn't have been taught. Siri Roshei Chodosh Nami Lo Nisni. Don't bother teaching example number 5 of the Mishnah, the Rosh Chodesh Siri goat offerings. Don't teach it. Lo Nisni Deha Tana Zivchei Shalmei Tzibor. It should have been included in the example number 4 of Zivchei Shalmei Tzibor. Just like Zivchei Shalmei Tzibor included Siirei Horegolim, let Zivchei Shalmei Tzibor include Siirei Rosh Chodeshim, and yet the Mishnah teaches that as a separate example. The Gemara answers, Amri, and here we continue to the top of Ayin Zayin Omid Aleph. The Gemara answers, Siirei Rosh Chodeshim, it's the Richolei. The case of the beginning of the month, the Rosh Chodesh goat offerings, had to be taught. Sakhle Techamina, I would have thought, ha lo ksiv behu mo'eid. This key word is not found in the context of the Sirei Rosh Chodesh, mo'eid. Mo'eid, meaning if you translate it, you'll come out with the word at the appointed time. The Torah doesn't say you shall bring the Sirei Rosh Chodesh at the appointed time. So since it's lacking the word mo'eid, I would have thought that it doesn't supersede Shabbos, and as a result of that, it wouldn't supersede Tumah. Komash Molon, what the Mishnah does by teaching Sire Rosh Chodesh, it tells us the Rosh Chodesh Ikri Moed, that Rosh Chodesh is categorized, is referred to as Moed. Now, where do you find a hint to this? That even though the Torah itself doesn't say the word Moed in the context of the Sirei Rosh Chodesh, but where do you find a hint to Rosh Chodesh being called Moed? Kirabaye, as Abaye teaches, the Omar Abaye, Tammuz the High Shosa, Tammuz, the month of Tammuz, of the year in which the spies were sent to scout out the land of Israel by sent by Moshe Rabbeinu, the Tammuz of that year, Melia Maluha. It was a Tammuz was a full month. Now, a full month means that it was a 30-day month, or we often refer to the term a it was a 2-day Rosh Chodesh. Dichtiv, it says regarding Rosh Chodesh of the year the Meraglim were sent, Kora alai moed lishbor bachurai. So that at the point the Meraglim were sent out, that was the beginning of the major disaster 40 days later, Tisha B'Av, when the Meraglim came back with their report and the public accepting it, which resulted in the 40 years sojourn in the wilderness. And Rashi explains that the second line from the top, Korolai Moed, Tammuz, the month of Tammuz, the Shiluach Meraglim, Malia Maluha. It ended up being a 30-day month. V'kolu arboim ditu, the end of the 40 days, from i.e. from the point they were sent out till their subsequent return and evil report, and the 40 days ended b'tisha b'av, on the 9th of Av, as is spelled out by Perek Basar the Tainus. V'kbalehem bo b'chil doros v'yom ibur ha'chodesh kori moed. The day in which a month is extended was considered a moed. So you see a reference to Rosh Chodesh being considered or called by the term moed, even though the Torah itself doesn't use that expression. The Mishnah nevertheless is telling us that the same dinim of other sacrifices that the Torah does use the word moed apply as well to the Sirei Rosh Chodeshim. The Gemara will continue in this very regarding this very point of moed as it refers to each one of the sacrifices, but being that the continued sugya will continue quite a way down this new Amid, and we are in the context of Daf Yomi, so this would be a convenient place to pause, and Emir Tzashem, next time we will pick up from this without too much introduction. With that in mind, before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.